And now for something completely different.
Coming up this hour on Today's Experience, we're going to do a little bit of introduction to our show, a little testimony-ish, good stuff, and we're going to talk about DDDs. You have to understand, a devotional diamond of the day, DDD. Going to look at what is Christianity, part one of 500, and then we're going to close it out with a merry heart or a surprise ending.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, remember this one thing. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. We're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because this show, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I'm back. It's been a year and a half. I haven't been live on the radio. I'm loving it already, having the best time working with Wonder Julie. Julie is our Wonder Engineer.
I am very wonderful.
You are wonderful. We named you after Wonder Woman. Is that good? There you go, right there. I do want to do a couple of quick shout-outs before we get to the task at hand. Most of you are out there listening and going, what is this radio show all about? Here's my first answer. I have no idea. Isn't that great? But let me do a couple of shout-outs. Shout-out to my family, my kids, Josh, Jeremiah, and Julianne, my grandkids. Love my grandkids. I'm going to talk about them in a little while. In-laws, best ever, Bruce and Julie, September, Glenn, fantastic people. I want to do a quick thank you to our future sponsor, John, from the Blessed Roofing Company, who's taken a step of faith with us, already taken a step of faith. You can go to the Blessed Roofing Company.com website, get more information. Their number, 214-425-1426. That's 214-425-1426. It's pretty simple. Do you want a roof that's blessed? Wait, here's a better question. Do you want to walk underneath a roof that's not blessed? Aha! Yeah, that's right, John. I already wrote that first commercial. We'll talk about that later. Saying hi to our friends in San Diego, friends and business partners throughout the country, our friends on the internet. Special thank you to Noah. Thank you, Noah. And to Pastor Ray, who is very significant in me moving forward, coming back towards ministry. This particular show dedicated to Ron Babars, our late friend. And then I want to do a final shout out to my absolute best friend in the universe, the love of my life, the person that God has given me as a gift that's only subject to the great gift he is, and that's my wife, Noelle. She is the best of the best of the best, and I love her and appreciate her in my life. Let's talk about this show. I'm going to give you some ground rules. We're going to talk about where this show is heading and what we're going to do. It's a big variety, but before we do, I want to tell you what happened last night. So I'm in bed with my wife, sleeping, getting ready to go to sleep, thinking about the show. Now, I know I'm the only person on the planet that goes to bed and thinks about things and then tosses and turns and tosses and moves back and forth trying to figure it out, also while trying to kick my 75-pound dog off the bed who likes to consume the bed no matter what's going on. And I said to the Lord, bless this mess. Now, we've used that phrase in our lives. Jokingly, people will use that as a phrase when they come into their homes. And it's like, oh, bless this mess. And they have a little plaque up there. But I realized that as good as radio can be and often is, it's still a mess. And as good as we walk the walk, there's still messes. And there's still all this stuff that takes place that's messy. But here's something you got to remember as a believer. There are things in your life that are a mess. And sometimes your life is a mess, but you're God's mess. In other words, he's not up there worried. He's not up there going, oh, I lost their file. What shall I do? This is not how God operates. This is how we operate. We go to our desktop and look for a file. We do a search. We can't find it. We look on a thumb drive. We try to go to one of our locations where we've taken things and stored them forever and ever and think they'll never be damaged. We can't find. We act like we're the ones who are chickens with our heads cut off. Let me tell you something. We have mess in our lives. We have things in our lives that the Lord wants to work out and is working out. And some of us will get into that mess and we focus on that mess. And that mess, boy, that'll ruin you if you focus on it. If you think about what's not going right, if you focus on what isn't happening good, it just tears you to pieces. But God is not worried about you. God is working on you. God is loving on you. We're going to talk at deep levels of theology on the show from time to time. We're going to talk about justification, sanctification, glorification. We're going to talk about the Ordo Salutis. We're going to talk about all these different elements, but here's what you need to know. You might be a mess, but if you're a believer, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on that cross and he was buried and 3 days later rose again, and that he is coming back, if you believe that, and you desire to commune and to spend eternity with God, let me tell you something. You might be a mess, but you're God's mess. And God has this wonderful, wonderful capacity to take what's messy and to make it fantastic. For those of you that need kind of a refresher course, I simply point to Scripture on the simplest of things. Before the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul. And you know what he used to do? He used to go around and seize people who were a part of the way, and he would take them and throw them in prison, and he would support them being stoned to death. He would support whatever was taking place to torture them and to hurt them. This guy was destroying the church. And then Jesus got a hold of him, and he became one of the most significant church builders in church history. He went from a destroyer to a builder. It went from bad to good. It went from messy to right. And you might be sitting there right now and you've got things in your life and they're a mess. God's not done. God's not up there worried. God's not freaking out. In fact, one of the things that you'll hear me say on a regular basis is, if there's a problem between heaven and earth, it's not being blocked on heaven's end. It's on our end. If you can think of a tube between heaven and earth, and there's a free flow between that tube, if there's any cloggage, if that's a word, it's on our end, not God's end. You know, they talk about in health, they talk about beta blockers. And now in politics, they're talking about Beto blockers. They're talking about that too because of the Beto guy. Listen, whatever blockage is taking place, not God. It's not his end. Heaven's not going, hey, yeah, we're stuck. Get the plumbers. Okay? It's us. It's our mess. What do you got to do? Simple. Stop making this so complex. Oh, you got to go out and put a board on your body, run around the whole downtown area and go repent for the end is near. Please don't do that. You'll go to jail because indecent exposure. Here's what you got to do. You got to get in a room or a place by yourself. You got to call out to Jesus. There's a great bumper sticker. Ask Jesus. He can help. And if you just call out to the Lord and say, Jesus, help me. Help me in my situation. Help me get through this. Help me push through. Help me push past it all. Help me not to get stuck in bitterness. Help me not to get stuck in anger. Help me not to get stuck in doubt. Help me not to live my life so I can pay rent or pay bills. But help me to live my life so I can glorify your name. Help me to get ready for that which is coming in the future, which is spending time in your presence and dancing on streets of gold. You know, I sometimes get concerned about the Christian hope, the way it's presented, because a lot of people are like, I just want to get raptured and get out of here. I just want to get my harp. I want to get my cloud. I want to read magazines from the dentist's office. That's all I want to do for all eternity. That sounds terrible. You know what sounds cool? Dancing on streets of gold. All right. That's cool. I like that. Because that's streets of gold. I love that idea. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Don't be afraid of the fact or the reality that there might be messes in your life. Take those same messes and bring them to Jesus. Don't be out there thinking, I'm going to come up with the best angle. I'm going to cover this from this side and this side. I'm going to review it from every possible scenario so I can come up with the best conclusion. You know, sometimes the best conclusion is to let it go into the hands of God and say, hey, you're bigger than me. I'd like you to handle this. I'm just going to commit this to you. I'm just going to lift this up in your hands. Okay. Now, that's not really part of the show. Just to let you know. That's not any of my papers. I've got 15 papers, as most people know about me. I have papers scattered all over my desk. And we're going to talk, in the next time I'm going to talk about what the show, kind of the ground rules on the show. But one of the things I want you to be aware of is if you have a prayer request, not a problem to call the show, 972-445-0770, not a problem to call the show, and we'll pray for you. What's wrong with having people pray for you and having the body of Christ pray for you at the same time? Well, they're not in my denomination. Good. They should be in every denomination. It should be in every group. You do believe in the unity of believers, right? It is the body of Christ, not the right finger of Christ, right? I'm just making sure you know. So I want to make sure you get that, okay? All right, take a short break, then we're coming back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running, running.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, all amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder. See? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I just got a wonderful text from the best person in the world. She said, "It's like you never left." I hope she's talking about this morning when we were hanging out together.
That's all I can say.
All right. Let's talk about what this show is. Let's talk about what this show isn't. This part might be a little difficult for some. Bear with me. You have two choices. You can forgive me and it's all good, or you can not forgive me and be in trouble with God. That's up to you. Here we go. So let's discuss at the core of this show. This is the first of 5,000 shows because I've already done 1,000 shows and my goal in life is to do 6,000 shows. So I got about 20 years. I'm glad you can join. My introduction is a live call-in radio talk show that covers like a variety of subjects. We'll get over, cover a whole bunch of different things. We'll talk about politics, we'll talk about culture, we'll talk about food, we'll talk about sports, we'll talk about sex. Oh, Christians can talk about sex. I think God was the one who invented it, so we will discuss that. And you might say, well, I'd like to call it lovemaking. Well, okay, call it that. We're going to cover not Christian living. That's what you got Charles Stanley for, and Dr. James Dobson, and Andrew Womack, and all these fantastic teachers that are all over the country and right here on KAAM. You've got these fantastic teachers helping you understand Christian living. I'm going to talk to you in regards to life as a Christian. And you think, well, wait a minute. What is different between Christian living and life as a Christian? You come out of church, you're in your car, you're really pumped. There was a great service, great worship. You saw people, you know, it's fantastic. You get on the road, you're driving on the freeway, somebody cuts you off, and all of a sudden, though you never believe in tongues, you're speaking in a tongue that nobody else knows what it is because you're saying all these nasty things. And then you think, I can't believe I'm talking this way. I just left church. That's life as a Christian. Dealing with that, being honest with that. Don't give me self-righteous this and self-righteous that. That's not where we're going in this. To give you an idea in regards, well, how long have you been a Christian, Dave? I'm 57 years old. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I was born and raised Jewish. My brother and I are the only two Christians in my family for 5,000 years. And the majority of the family cut me and my brother off and haven't talked to them in 39 years and 6 months. We lost our family multi-million dollar fortune, and I'd give it up again in a second because eternal life is more important. What's my education? Well, before I became a Christian, I got kicked out of high school. Is that impressive? In fact, I remember the vice principal sitting down with my mom going, "He's never going to graduate ever." That's because I was a purveyor of recreational pharmaceuticals back then. See if you can figure that one out. And I will let you know that in the next 5 weeks, I will have finished up summa cum laude on my master's in theological studies. So you never know where it goes, how it starts, or how it ends. Only the Lord knows where that's going to be. All right, let's talk about some of the ground rules for the show. You thinking there's ground rules for your show? Yeah, you can call in. We'll pray for you. If you got a praise report, do you know that other brothers and sisters like to hear great things that God is doing? Want to know why? Because it encourages us. It's like when you hear God is doing something else in somebody else's life, you're like, it's doable. And it's like it becomes possible. Well, yeah, we'll call. Share it. Now, you're not going to talk for 9 hours, but you get a chance to talk and share your testimony and give glory unto the Lord. And your brothers and sisters get to rejoice in it. How is that bad? There's no bad in that. 972-445-0770. We're going to take a little while. Not going to take a ton of calls or anything in the beginning because I got to lay down the rules. So most of you who knew the show was coming know exactly where some of this is heading. Here we go. Number one rule, humor is allowed. Humor? You can smile? You can laugh? Let me help you out. I want you to go to the store. And I want you to buy a small mirror. And then I want you to turn that mirror on your face and look at it. And if you're not laughing, something's wrong. Because if you look at everybody, we're funny looking people. That's just the reality check. And you think, but wait. You can't be telling jokes. You can't be having fun. We are not the frozen chosen. We're believers. God made us with a sense of humor. If God didn't have a sense of humor, he wouldn't let you be listening to this right now. Trust me. And I'm going to prove to you that a sense of humor is okay by sharing with you a little Jewish joke. Because that's what you need right now, a good Jewish joke. Here you go. There was a grandma, and she had her first grandson, and they went to the beach. And she goes to the beach, and the grandson's a couple years old, and he's playing with the little shells, and in the sand, he's having fun. And all of a sudden, a wave swirls up from the sky, reaches down and grabs the grandson, and sucks him into the ocean. And the grandmother's horrified. And she's like, oh, no, no. And she looks up to the Lord and she says, come on, God. I'm watching my grandson. Something like this can't happen. It can't be like this. I'll never be able to face anybody. Then all of a sudden the wave swirls back up to the top, spits out the grandchild, right up to the grandmother's feet. And she looks at the child, and she looks at God, and she looks at the child, and she looks up to the Lord. She looks at the child, and she looks up to him, and she says, he had a hat. That is what you have to understand is Christian humor. Now, how do I know these jokes are funny? I'll tell you how. I talked to my dog, Levi. Levi is a white boxer, 75 pounds. We got him at 6 weeks. He was only just like could fit in your hand, literally. And he will, he's just the best dog we've ever had. And I tell Levi my jokes. And every time I tell my jokes, he looks at me and his little tail, his little nubby tail, it wags back and forth, right? And then you know how I know he thinks it's funny? Because he goes and he gets me a rubber hamburger and he brings it to me as a reward for how funny my joke is. Or he wants me to throw it. One of the two, I'm not sure. But it's one of the two, I'm positive. And by the way, for those that didn't like that joke, I should have given you the Hawaii joke. We'll do that later. It's very funny. Second thing is, I got to check my time. I forgot. I got 5 minutes. All right, I got plenty of time. Second thing is, the show is not allowed to be boring by my standards. If it gets boring by my standards, I will implement a boring siren. What is a boring siren? It's a raspberry. And I just, if I'm bored, I'm bored. I just like, that's enough. And conventional radio is not like that. I don't care. If you don't understand that, go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue. Because I don't care. I don't like boring. I like interesting. I like fascinating. I like challenging. I like entertaining. I like all that stuff. And now I'm going to use the boring siren. Because I've been become bored talking about boring. So that's enough. Last thing here is speak life. Now this is a tough one. Because when we say speak life, we're talking about Proverbs 18:21, all right? So some people will say, well, that means you can't say anything negative about anybody. That's not what speaking life is. Speaking life and speaking death are when you speak the truth into people's lives and they come alive and their spirit opens up and they come alive, or you speak death and they shut down. It's not whether you criticize a leader on the left or on the right. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it has to do with uplifting the person or the persons that you're connecting to. Can you, in your speech or in your communion, draw them or help them be strengthened in the Lord in some capacity? Or can they just laugh with you? Or can they just cry with you? All of that, it has to do with how you speak and what you speak to them. So in the very beginning segment, you heard me talking about being a mess. and how you can take that mess to Jesus. That's life. Understand? So the idea is to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. It's about that love your neighbor thing, that pesky little commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You won't always agree with people that you hear from. And in fact, if you will just be honest and go visit yourself 10 years ago, you don't agree with yourself 10 years ago. You don't agree yourself 20 years ago. Do you agree with yourself when you were a teenager? I think not. Right? So the key is to understand that some things need to be evaluated, supported, or rejected. But the idea is to speak as much life as possible because there's plenty of demons and people influenced by demons trolling all over the internet, the television, the radio. And, you know, we don't need to add to that. All right, so a couple things to keep in mind, and then I think we're close to a wind-up. What do we got? 3 minutes. All right, okay, cool. All right, this isn't your granddaddy's talk show. Unless your name is Addiebug, Carter Bear, Isaiah Anthony, or Stella, and then a future unnamed child. Thanks, Julianne. And then it is your granddaddy's talk show, by the way. And we're going to go with the show wherever the Spirit leads us as best we can. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God. Now, I'm going to give you reasons to complain or reasons to call in a minute. And when you call, that's 972-445-0770. But first, I want to say this. You might be out there and one of those people that have been hurt by a church. Okay? You might be one of those people that are so committed to your denomination, you can't fellowship with other denominations. In case you haven't noticed, there is an increase of attacks on the Christian faith in general. And if you didn't notice, soon enough, they're going to be attacking the Bible as straight out hate speech, something that you derive your faith from. And the people that you're going to want to connect to the most aren't going to be the people that are attacking you for hate speech and believing the Bible. You might meet somebody who has a different interpretation of Scripture, but if they're using Scripture and it's genuine in Scripture, that's your brother and that's your sister. So a little bit of love, a little bit of support, a little bit of kindness, not the worst idea. Okay? All right. I had to get that off my chest. Just bleh. Okay. All right, so we're going to take a short break coming up here, and we got some things that we're going to be working on. I'm going to talk a little bit about my background when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have
got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking.
Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's talk about how we went from here. Oh, I should let you know, if you want to reach the show, I forgot this completely. If you want to reach the show while it's live, you can call 972-445-0770. But you can also send me an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. You can go to Facebook and type in David Spoon or the David Spoon Experience. You can go to davidspoon.com website, or you can go on top of your roof and you can say, hey-o, and I won't hear you on that one, but it's fun to see people go on the roofs and scream and see what happens. Let us understand what's going on between Texas and what I'm doing in Texas and where we were before. So where we were before is my wife and I were in San Diego, California. Yeah, San Diego's a pretty nice place to live, so no knocks there. California's a nutty state, but San Diego's kind of a cool city in California. We did a radio show there for 5 years, exactly 5 years. We started with nothing and ended up with something, and everything was going great. In our fourth year, we were just, everything was super duper, going really good. And my daughter, probably in my third year, I should say, my daughter decided that she was going to have offspring. Now, what is that? That's a grandchild, for those that haven't followed. And then my son, he decided he was going to have offspring. So all of a sudden, I had like no grandchildren. And just to give you an idea, in the last 3 years, I went from none to 4.5. Now, what's 4.5? I one child is pregnant and expecting in the next so many months, a little more than a half, I think. So now I went from 0 to 4, and I got a picture. One of the pictures was my first grandchild trying to talk to me through the internet, through Skype, which is fine, except it was like, gosh, they're so far away because they live in Tennessee, and my son had moved out to Texas, to Fate, Texas. And I thought, I don't want to know all my kids electronically, all my grandkids. It just seems lousy. It just seems terrible. So we made a decision to come out to Texas, and you're thinking, well, why didn't you go to Tennessee? Well, first of all, everybody knows Texas is better than Tennessee. See how much we fit in? We came here, and we've already got a truck. Come on. That's amazing. From California to Texas with a truck. I mean, that should tell you everything. And we love that truck. All right. So anyway, so we came out to Texas, and I spent the last year and let's see, it's been like 16 months since I've been on radio. So I spent about the last year and a half trying to do something just to make a living, and in making a living, pay the bills, and in paying the bills, you know, just kind of go through that survival mode. And I'll just tell you right now, miserable. Isn't there like a play, La Miserable? Well, that was me. Every day. Why? I wasn't doing ministry. I wasn't doing something that had to do with advancing the kingdom of God, and I was just dying inside. Now, the things that I sold and the things that I did, they weren't bad. They were good. At one point, I was selling oxygen. I mean, that's not bad, right? For those people at Inogen, great people. Cart, how you doing, buddy? But it just wasn't fulfilling. It was less than fulfilling. It was driving me kind of batty. And then I had a good brother in the Lord, a pastor from a church, call me up, and him and I were talking, and he said, "You're never gonna be happy. You're never gonna find it in Texas until you're doing what the Lord sets before you. That's about His kingdom." That was 33 days ago.
What? And you already have a radio show on another station?
Yeah, this is the first station that we're on.
That's all I'm saying.
So yeah, that's how it goes. And then you're thinking, well, what's your big deal, Dave? What's your beef? Well, besides being born and raised Jewish, by the way, I call myself a Baptist. If you're trying to define me, because I have a Baptist ordination and a Pentecostal ordination, I merge them. And I'm also a manifold millennialist. So before you start freaking out on that, some of my friends, Dr. Robert Jeffers is a friend of mine. Ray Bentley is a friend of mine. They are very strong, staunch premillennial. I'm a manifold millennialist. If you want to call Mark Jumper at ORU or at Regent University, you'll find a manifold millennialist is somebody who really believes in premillennialism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism. I think that they're all excellent, and they all have excellent points, and to throw any of them out to lose some of the good that's there is amazing. I think, you know what? The Lord's coming back. We know that for sure. How that's going to come together? Well, there's some people that have, I think, a pretty good idea in their mind of how it's going to happen. But if it doesn't happen that way, doesn't matter. You persevere in the faith until He comes, right? It's not like, well, it didn't happen that way. I quit. Well, you're going to take your ball and go home? It's like, that's not how this works, all right? Through many tribulations, one comes to the kingdom of heaven. Not, it didn't go the way I wanted. Okay, too bad. There's a great Ziggy cartoon, one of my favorite of all time. And Ziggy looks up to God, and he goes, why? And the next panel has a finger pointing down and says, why not?
It's not just telling you everything. Just like, why not?
All right, so let's get to the core premise of the show before we do anything else. I got to really hit one of the most important things. And I'm going to get a little bit of blowback on this, and that's okay. You'll live. But here is the core premise of the show, all right? Christianity is not a religion. Oh, let that sink in. Christianity is not a religion. In fact, Josh McDowell, who is somebody I've had the opportunity to interview, just a great guy, he writes, religion is human beings trying to work their way to God through good works. Religion is human beings trying to work their way to God through good works. That's Josh McDowell's definition of religion. There are some other definitions of religion. The dictionary definition has to do with following a set of rules established by man, agreed upon, so on and so forth. Yeah, Christianity is not that. And you're thinking, what do you mean Christianity is not that? Of course it is. I took a world religion course 25 or 30 years ago. Well, I took one 25 or 30 years ago too, and I also took one 2 years ago. And I got an A. I'm summa cum laude, so keep that in mind. And the bottom line is Christianity is not a religion. Now, churchianity is a religion. People that speak Christianese, they're very religious, but that has nothing to do with Christianity. The basis of Christianity stems from the desire and plan of God to restore the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Period. You're thinking, what? You see, when man was created in the garden, he had fellowship with God until man sinned. Then we're on this spiral whirlwind existence, and what Jesus did, notice that he prayed in the garden. Notice that in heaven there's a garden. Uh-oh, that's interesting. Beginning, middle, and end, there's a garden. Uh-oh, good stuff to know. Jesus restored the relationship that was broken from sin by becoming the sacrifice for us on the cross. So Christianity and its mentality, its approach, its communication, its truth is a restoration of the original purpose of creation, which is fellowship with God. Don't try and tell me, well, it's this or it's been oppressive and they've done this. First of all, everything that's bad that has happened to this planet has happened because of man. There's no question. But it's because of our sin, not because of anything else. Do you know the ecosystem that everybody seems to be freaking out about? That also got disturbed by sin. Just read Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. You'll find out that creation is groaning to be redeemed. Why? Because we sinned. Sin is what caused that. Get that? You understand? I want you to understand what's happening. So that sin messed everything up. And Jesus came to redeem us from all of that. I'm thinking, wait. Well, I know the earth's going to flood. Well, if it does, God's a liar. Uh-oh. Did he just say? Yeah. Yeah, see, because in Genesis, God said he would never flood the earth again. So people that go around saying the polar caps are going to melt and everything's going to be underwater, wow, either you're right or God's right. But one of you two is wrong. Because if the polar caps melt, the earth would be flooded by multiple feet all over the face of the earth. That means that God lied. Choose whom you serve. And choose wisely. Because it has ramifications in your choice. So here's what you're going to hear that you can... my brother's loving this. In a large portion of the church, there are enormous amounts of traditions that are missing God completely. Have you ever noticed that? Required songs, recitings, unspoken fellowship demands, the individual church's 10 commandments, dress codes, attendance expectations, the you're only as spiritual as your donations ideologies. And a series of other man-made laws. These concepts are man-made religious rules. They're supposed to be, of course, Christianity, but they're not. They're churchianity. Through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, we have the divine connection restored. Which, by the way, let me just say quickly, can be accessed 24/7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Through Jesus, we can come into the presence of God any time through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just something you keep aware of. But anyway, through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, we have divine connection restored. Now, through the word, God speaks to us. Through prayer, we speak to him. That's called communicating. All right, now watch this. This is really fun. Communication is the basis of relationship. You meet somebody. What do? You talk to them. And they talk to you. So you talk to one another. That's called communication. That's the basis of every relationship. So Christianity is a living relationship with a living God, because through the word, he talks to us. And through prayer, we talk to him. Oh. You mean it's not this complex? No. The Bible says, do not be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. But it's. If you do that a few more times, I can get you a show as a rabbit on a cartoon. But it. Okay, you could be the FUD guy. All right, anyhow, we're going to take a short break. Listen, you got to follow this. It's a living relationship with a living God. That's what we're doing. Hey, you can take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back. But it feels the same. So I punish
myself. I go down to the jail. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience. Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's right. Boy, I don't think we missed a beat. It's been a year and a half. I think we're straight back into it. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, you can go to our website and leave a message on davidspoon.com. You can go to Facebook. The problem with Facebook is I have David Spoon and the David Spoon Experience, so you can use kind of either one. I just, last night, got a Twitter account going. That's going to be David at Spoon Experience. It's going to be David at Spoon Experience because... That's my handle. That's a little Sean Connery for you there. I haven't done that in ages. All right. Let's see. You can always call the station and leave a message. There is an email for people that absolutely can't stand the show. It's, boy, I don't like David Spoon. I want to call and complain. I have a lot to say, and I'm really not feeling that well @gmail.com. And you got 10 seconds for that to go, and then it disappears. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Oh, it's too late. That's gone. All right, let's get into the next section. We talked about the core premise of the show. We talked about some of the rules. And I'm going to probably end up talking about myself a little bit tomorrow, because it just seems to me like it's just way too much for me to try and cover all of my background. But I will tell you this. My brother and I and two other Jewish guys, four Jews from Detroit, all got saved in Phoenix, Arizona, within 30 days of one another. We were all living in Detroit. We had all moved out separately to Arizona. We all got saved within 30 days of one another, and we were all walking down the streets telling the prostitutes that they could accept Jesus and love Jesus Christ, and having the pimps pull out their guns and say, "We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you." And we'd be like, "Jesus loves you, dude." Yeah, we were those guys. It was bad. And that was back when Van Buren. See, now Phoenix Van Buren's like really nice, and it's got the nice buildings and all this stuff. Back then, the word nice did not come to mind. And so that's, you know, a little bit of my background gives you some understanding. I have zero problem talking about being born and raised Jewish. I feel much like Abraham. And in this context, let me finish before you get all freaked out. In this context, when God told Abraham, "I am going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah," Abraham got before God and he said, "If there's 50 righteous people, will you spare the city?" And God said, "Yes." And Abraham said, 45? See that? That right there? He went from 50 to 10. He bargained with God. That is how I feel like Abraham. Plus, I believe that Abraham, even though he didn't have a Bible, was amazingly close in his communion and relationship with God. So I feel a deep connection there. I have not given up any of my background. I am fluid in Yiddish. I am not fluid in Hebrew, even though I went to private Hebrew school because I forgot, because I did too many drugs to remember. So I don't remember. I did more acid than I want to confess to. But all of those bad things, and they were horrible, turned into a moment for me to hear the gospel. And I'll tell you this. This is something that happened that is one of the most important things in my life. I was participating in drugs the way I shouldn't be, and I was in my room in my house, and the Lord spoke to me. You're thinking, God doesn't speak. Well, how'd you get saved? Of course he speaks. And he spoke two words. That's enough. And I was like, uh-oh. That's all I kept thinking. I kept thinking, that's not good. So being a person who's familiar with acid trips and hallucinations and so on and so forth, I knew that that was not that. And so I took all my drugs and I threw them out. I flushed down all my drugs down the toilet, all the different various drugs, and I broke my pipes, I broke my bongs, I threw them all in the trash, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I told the Lord this. I said, I believe you just spoke to me and told me, no, you know, that's enough, and I like it, and I haven't found anything else on your planet that I like doing, but it is more than evident that you don't like it. And so I just said, if I'm going to get through this, you're going to have to help me because I can't do it without you. I mean, I'm not going to get free apart from you. And I prayed that prayer and I went to bed. And I woke up and that was it. I was after doing 20 times a day for 5 years, getting high, smoking pot, doing all the things. And one honest 2.5 minute prayer, God said, okay, here you go. And that was it. And you think, well, that's great, Dave, but, you know, what about my situation? I don't know. I can't answer your situation, but I can tell you this. If you go before the Lord and you pray and you're honest, and I mean honest, and you bring it before him, he'll help you. It might not be the same style of deliverance. It might not come through that same method, but he'll help you. If you're struggling because of finances, and who doesn't struggle because of finances in America? If you come before the Lord, you're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who fed people during famines in miraculous ways, who helped people in ways they could not conceive. I was talking to my wife about how, if you remember the lady whose son had, who Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, who had he had raised that young boy from the dead and told that woman to move away, for there was a famine coming, and she moved away for 7 years. Then she came back and she went to the king. This is in 2 Kings. And she went to the king to get her property back that she'd given up for 7 years. And as she was telling, as she was coming to the king, Gehazi, who had been Elijah's assistant, was telling the king at that moment what was taking place and some of the great works Elisha had done. And at that moment, that woman walked in, and Gehazi turned to the king and said, "This is the woman. This is her. This is the lady I'm telling you about. It's her." And the king not only restored her land, but gave her all the back income that she did not derive from that land for the entire time she was gone. She went in looking for one thing, and through God, she got even more. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel thing. I don't believe in that at all. What I believe is that unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, that's Ephesians 3:20. I think God can do that. God does that often. God responds often. But you have to have
A little faith. You have to have a little bit of confidence. You have to have a little bit of sincerity, a little bit of earnestness. I run into Christians all the time and say, if I just won the $100 million lottery, I'd give God 90%. Oh, what you're saying is you'd like God to give you $10 million. Oh, that's called lying. You understand that? That's called dishonest. You come before the Lord. You bring it to him. You be real about it. Maybe it gets answered a different way. I mean, I'm sure that Martha and Mary did not like the method Jesus used on raising Lazarus. But guess what? Jesus raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. He didn't use the lady's timing. Martha and Mary's timing didn't matter to God. The method they wanted to see didn't matter to God. You want God to do it a certain way and at a certain time. And God's like, I don't care what you think. It's your method, your timing? What? That's terrible. You bring it before the Lord and let him do what he's going to do however he decides to do it. But you be real. You know, people make fun of, and I've heard people preach this. Keep in mind, I've been a Christian for 40 years. So I've heard 20,000 sermons, let alone preach 20,000 sermons. People talk about Ananias and Sapphira. Well, that didn't really count because it wasn't the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. What? Are you serious? Ananias and Sapphira tried to be something they weren't. And in being something they weren't, God said, see ya. Be real. Right? Remember that mess thing we started the whole show about? Be real. Be who you're supposed to be. Be true before the Lord. He'll help you. He'll take care of it. He'll guide you. And no, it won't be perfect. And no, it's not going to necessarily be the methodology or the timing that you desire. But here's the thing. God is faithful. He's faithful. And you think, well, does that stuff work? It's been 40 years. Have you struggled with things since then, Dave? 10 trillion times. But you know what? From 40 years ago to right now, I know him a little bit better. Isn't that worth it? Isn't that the key? Isn't that the most important thing? I mean, you are going to spend 60 trillion years with God. You think that's real, or are you just kind of putting that in the back part of your mind, like some kind of gaseous concept? Or is that your real hope? See? Got to make this stuff real. Got to make it work. And you got to work it with him. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. We are going to take a 23-hour break. And then we're going to come back, and you're going to hear more insanity with Spoonanity. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.